So I've recommended to Drew Glover at his Friday afternoon, evening public agenda review group, which I found very educational. Well, yeah, somewhat educational, and also with a lot of public participation around the table. Apparently he's doing this on the Friday before every Tuesday regular city council meeting. So I encourage people to go check it out. It's the city council manager's conference room, which is, if you're approaching the city council from the library, it's to the right where you would normally find the mayor's office and all the city council members' offices. You'll be able to get into that room. You can't do it through, well, I'll be talking about it more in August when the next such meeting is. And I'm hoping, by the way, to play a bit of that. I was going to play the whole thing, and I think I will record it. I have recorded it, and I will post it online for people to hear, because I think it's there's a lot of really relevant dialogue and encouraging discussion, and the kind of stuff that makes you think that I don't want to get too optimistic about this city government, and even about someone who seems as alternative a politician as Drew Glover may be, because I think the structure of the government tends to drag the people down, to corrupt them, to co-opt them, and to turn them into a little ciphers that operate to maintain the power of that structure, which takes away from and distorts and deforms the community which it towers above. So I'm going to recommend to Glover that he make a motion that the city council, item number 5, be moved to the back to its position at the end of the agenda so that folks can have a sense of how things have gone in the council meeting before they decide on how they want the meeting calendar to proceed. And I think that he should candidly talk about the fact that it may be an attempt by people who want to retain power in the hands of a mayor and city manager who have a different ideological bent. They have a right to their bent. They just don't have a right to monopolize the agenda when they aren't the majority on the council. And that is something they've been doing for the last 6 months. Of course, it doesn't mean much unless Glover, Crone, Brown, and Cummings use this opportunity to insist that items be put on the agenda that are being kept off the agenda in order to avoid the issues, talk them to death, talk around them, talk on top of them, invite consultants to come and discuss them, set up task forces to look them over, etc., etc. So I don't have a lot to say about this agenda or about the consent agenda. I don't see any liability claim items that are related to abuse of poor people or abuse of people, at least around the police department or enforcement authorities around parks, city, and down the downtown area. But there are a lot of items on the consent agenda. It looks like there are at least 24 items. The items that interest me somewhat, there's the small cell wireless tower facilities. I think it's items 26 and 27. And I've also been told that the investigation of Drew Glover behind the scenes determined what kind of a sexist pig he is for challenging the mayor's co-opting of the agenda and being very explicit about what's going on in a public place has been completed. That investigation is done, so we should know what the fuck is happening. He has been very tight-lipped about it, insisting he can't say anything because it's part of the closed session, or maybe it's I don't know what the hell is the reason he insists on claiming that he's not allowed to talk about it. And he's been, using playing the please, please don't press me on it card, which is bullshit. That is something it's ridiculous that I respond to that, and I do, because it's really a public need to know what is going on. And it's particularly important if there's a recall going on at the same time, which there is. And we didn't talk much about that either. The item that's interesting coming up is the general business item, recommendations for data collection relating to rental housing. It's been shoved at the end of the agenda, of course, when it's probably the most substantive item on the agenda as far as I'm concerned, because at least there seems to be some indication that Cummings wants to get down to get the data. And if he wants to get the data, there may come a point at which he says, hold it, we've talked about the process of getting the data and the objectives of getting the data and the methods of getting the data enough. Now let's get the damn data. And therefore, they're trying to shovel it at the end of they being Watkins and Bernal, putting it at the end of the agenda. I'm assuming it's them because they make the agenda. Oral communications is at 7. And then there's this ridiculous 7:30 p.m. item, response to homelessness, the Community Advisory Committee, the CACH, C-A-C-H as it's called, another attempt to talk things forever to death without dealing with specific concerns like police abuse, lack of campgrounds, lack of facilities that already have been presented by Glover in staff reports and recommendations and buried by the city manager and the mayor. Reopening of the bathrooms, all these things that are necessary. They don't need to talk about them at length. You bring them up at city council and you vote on them and you change them and get back to where you should be going. But that's not, of course, what the old guard wants to do. The old guard wants to leave things in the hands of the police, parks and rec bosses, public works, and bureaucrats who have no accountability for what they do and can do whatever they feel like doing and are probably more likely to be pressured by conservative neighborhood and business groups. In any case, there was a lot of discussion at this pre-council meeting that Drew Glover had and is open to the public, as I said, and that's good, which I'll try to play. I'll play a tiny bit of it now, but I unfortunately don't have a lot of time left. It ran on for an hour and a half, and I recorded it, having told the people that I was recording it, or I thought it was pretty obvious when I put the recorder on the table, and Glover made it even more obvious by announcing it, which is fine. Let's hear a little of it.
Robert?
I'm just wondering why the city agencies, city council membership and city groups and agencies, item 4 has been moved to the beginning of the agenda. And the reason that it worries me, maybe you talked about this already.
We do not. It worries me too.
Yeah, well, then you probably know what I'm talking about, which is usually, if you want to get something on the next agenda and you want to force it, you need to raise it at the prior agenda. How are you going to know what to do if this comes at the beginning of the agenda rather than at the end? Because you won't have the benefit of having looked at the whole agenda. People understand what I'm talking about? The city council can make a vote based on a council member's proposal that something be on the agenda regardless of what the mayor wants to do. If they do it on the previous agenda, they get four votes or a majority. But if this comes at the beginning of an agenda...
In a consent agenda.
In a consent agenda, it means that there really isn't an opportunity, A, to vote on it individually unless you take it off the agenda, but also, B, it means you don't have the benefit of what's happened during the council meeting to then make a decision as to, oh, I guess we should put this, require that this certain item be put on the agenda for the next time and not simply trust that Martine and, you know.
Because it's not for, you're not discussing it at this agenda, or at this meeting, it's for the next meeting.
It is for the next meeting, but you have to know before the whole meeting.
Does it take away the opportunity to vote on agendizing something for the next meeting?
It does. And so just because it was requested a little earlier, just the general breakdown of how to get something on the agenda. So if a city council member wants to get something on the agenda, they have to create an agenda report and then submit that agenda report the Thursday following a council meeting. So, for example, if we wanted to have things on this agenda we needed to submit it on the Thursday after the 11th, which was the 13th. I'm going to visualize it for you because it's easier to see.
And that's no guarantee it'll go on.
So the issue with that and that structure is that even if we have three council members that submit the item and it's co-signed by everyone, the ultimate decision to put it on the agenda or not rests in the hands of the mayor. And so that's where this conflict when I first got on the council came from, was because I received information about a timeline on when to submit materials. I had checked with staff multiple times leading up to that, letting them know what I was doing and everything. And then I went to submit the materials only to have them then say, you missed the deadline. And I, because, okay, up here. If we are in June, the 25th is the next meeting. That means the last meeting, since the city council meetings are the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, it was the 11th and the 25th of this month are going to be city council meetings. If we wanted something on the 25th, we had to turn it in on Thursday the 13th before it could get onto the 25th, oops, on the 25th agenda.
That's crazy.
Right. That is crazy. That should be 10 days. You need 10 days at least to get.
So their logic beyond that is because they want to give it to the staff so they can run through it and find any problems the staff has with it, and then the mayor has a meeting sometime the following week, so sometime this week, to schedule and craft the agenda in her agenda review with the city manager. The issue there is that the only people in the room usually are the mayor, the vice mayor, and the city manager.
So I have a question. Is there any way that you could propose to, like, and see if everyone wants to vote on it, a solution to this? Like, if it's an emergency, then it can be agendized faster.
This is a direct result of the mayor being having an end around on her.
This is Chris Crone.
Drew and I tried to do this a few times. We were successful once or twice and got shot down a couple times. What happened was Justin wanted to go forward with this rent issue to get the data. So it ended up being a 4-3 vote. The other three said they wanted this too, but they just didn't like this, the agenda being used like this. So the mayor is affronted by this. You know, she's insulted.
Oh,
so that's why I'm surmising that either this guy over here, the city manager, is through that wall, or the mayor, which I don't think she probably did, crafted this thing like, oh, okay, let's try this. Cause maybe that we'll fool them on this one, and they won't have a chance to do this. So my solution would be to pull this one and put it at the end of the thing. I don't know if we have four votes for that, but to put it back at the regular place, because this is BS.
Yeah, nothing.
And so Crone has exactly the same idea I do, and I'm glad. Now, if he will only make sure it gets done, that'll be good, because in the past he's said he's going to do stuff and then he doesn't do it, or he does a weakened version of it. However, it appears people are starting to come together when he's making clear public statements like this. And it seems like he also is coming to an understanding of why it's necessary to do this in order to recapture control of the agenda process, so that what even their fragile majority can do something, which they can't do unless the thing is actually on the agenda. And to make sure it gets on the agenda, you can't wait for the mayor to put it on. You can't even present three staff reports to put it on. You can't even do that 2 weeks in advance, which is what their deadline is, which is a ridiculous deadline. You have to, in fact, at the meeting before, through a 4-3 vote, insist that it be on the next agenda. And the best time to do that is at the end of the council meeting, I kind of think, although I suppose there's an argument by saying you get more people at the beginning, although maybe you won't. And the beginning of this council meeting would be around noon. I don't think people are going to be there that working people will be doing their jobs or having their lunch somewhere. Whereas at the end of the agenda, people might actually be able to get in 5 or 6 o'clock, which is what meetings have been running long to, because Watkins has not put stuff on the evening agenda much. Usually just has one item on the evening agenda or two, as well as oral communications. And the reason that there's any evening agenda at all is because Crone, Brown, and Glover pressed to have oral communications moved to 7 o'clock, which made it pretty clear that it was a better idea to schedule some other stuff in the evening, because I presume the mayor did not want to call out the council just to go to oral communications and then leave. Although that has been done, and it was done, you know, when the afternoon sessions ended early and people then came back to the 5:30 oral communication as kind of a necessary, oh, now we have to listen to the cranks talk. Action. We'll hear a little more of this, and then we're going to have to move on to other stuff. But I'm going to try to post this entire discussion and make it available as a sort of an extra radio show for an additional, a bonus, Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides, that's the name of the show, on the Huff website. If you go there looking under latest and lost shows, that should be there too pretty soon. Just give me a little time.
Now pull it and then have a conversation around it. And Robert didn't announce it when he came in, but he is recording this conversation, yes, so everyone knows.
I thought it was obvious when I put it on the table.
Not everyone's
talking about it. I didn't tell you that. I probably wouldn't have spoken like that.
Well, you never have. Now you're on tape.
Even though we seem to be a minority at times, because only two or three votes go the right way, I think it's a mistake to be trying to cooperate too much with this city management, these city departments, the staff. They have overmuch power.
So as much as I'd like to agree with you, Nicholas, in trying to circumvent that power system, I am now a bully and a sexist. So
No, it's not for you to do this. It's for the civic organizations in the city to wake up as to how the power is being abused.
Right. I mean, that's absolutely. So just...
Actually, it's for them and the civic organizations and individuals throughout the city. But Glover has for too long let himself be bullied and intimidated by this kind of investigation. I think you have to stand up to it. Now, I'm not under investigation. I would no doubt feel under rather strong pressure and anxiety if I were. That doesn't mean, however, that the proper response isn't to continue doing what you're doing more clearly and more strongly. Because the purpose of this kind of investigation is to bully you into silence and to shut you down. And he has allowed that to happen to some extent, though he's also continued to speak up in some ways and to hold in meetings like this, which I commend him for.
Just to put in perspective, and then we'll come Serge and then Alicia is, and Robert, is that one thing that's been proposed is to have a rotating third council member in the room during agenda reviews to make sure that it gets put on where it gets put on. And the main issue, and I'll get back to what I was saying before about in February that caused this whole problem, was we had three council members that had signed on to the agenda reports, and we had another council member advocating in to put it on the agenda, even though we hadn't spoken with him about it, but he was trying to get it on the agenda, and she still didn't put it on the agenda. And so that was a majority of council members that wanted to talk about something, and she still forced it off. And then when I did what I did on February 12th and forced it to be an issue, that's the only reason why we're talking about transitional encampments on anything close to August, and it's the only reason we're getting the ordinance information is because I did that. But their response is then to assassinate my character and then go this other route. Anyway, that was the crash course on how agendas are created. We have Serge, Alicia, Robert, and then we'll move on.
One, respectfully, if it's going to change the conversation at all, can we not do a recording thing? Because I would really appreciate, like, true open dialogue.
I do, like free speech. Yeah,
like because there's so much about this whole system that I don't understand, and it's off the cuff. If you're okay with it, it's up to you.
It helps people speak.
Well, my problem is that this is for the broader. This is a publicly announced meeting. It's not Brown Act, of course, but it's publicly announced, and I do segments of it. In fact, I was thinking of doing a lot of it because this is, I think, educational to the community. I think, Drew doesn't have time often. And Chris is hard to reach to do a lot of interviews on this subject. This is really what the public gets aside from what comes out of the...
Right, and as a public meeting in general, I don't plan on insulting or slandering people in general, so I'm going to be as candid as I would if the tape wasn't rolling. So It's all about respect and justice.
And my only question was like solutions. Solutions.
Right, but I appreciate your concern.
I'm not trying to disrespect you, sir.
I didn't take it personally.
Okay.
It was just. And then, I really would love to hear like their thoughts that go through someone's head, and I also have to tone my stuff down a little bit when I'm being recorded, which I get. But for this.
How about we'll do this as a test run, and then we'll see how everyone feels after this, and after that, we'll go from there. But I do want to exhibit as much transparency with the public, especially in policy and stuff as possible.
I tend to insist on it myself as much as I can. I've been arrested in this very room, sitting on this chair, for that recorder. So.
There we go. All right,
and it's nothing personal. I think you've been pretty respectful to me and my feelings and stuff.
Sure. Number two.
Second was Rafa asked that...
So I'll be playing some more of this, as I said, hopefully in a more complete form. Let's take a musical break. That one was from the Jacksons. It was Man of War, back from 1977.
Well, today is June 22nd. It's around 11:30, and I'm talking to a Fresno-bound Alicia Cool. Hello, Alicia.
Hello.
And you are running all over the place. If you're not in Washington, D.C., you're en route somewhere else. Where are you headed today?
Today we're headed to Fresno.
And what goes on in Fresno that we should know about?
Lawyers panel, and we're going to be on a panel talking about what's going on in Santa Cruz and see if we can maybe even persuade some attorneys to get involved. And we're hoping for the best.
You're talking about the Ross Camp raising, so to speak, where they mowed down all the people in Ross Camp. I should say dispersed the entire camp, mowed down all the tents, and put up a fence.
That's that and what continues to go on, you know, on the daily. The fact that people are being criminalized instead of, you know, assisted when we have no shelters.
Now, you've also...
no shelter space.
True. And you've also returned recently from Washington, D.C., along with Keith McHenry, Poonaw Bombs guy, and the Wes White Salinas Monterey County Homeless Advocates. Plus, you've been appointed the new Führer of the Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But what happened in Washington that particularly struck you?
Well, in Washington, we basically heard that cities all around, you know, almost all 50 states are echoing the same problems that we're having in Santa Cruz. They're all having various degrees of the same issues of criminalization, and not just criminalization of, you know, the homeless, but racism, poverty, issues that surround poverty in general, really low wages, really high rents, you know, inequality. There's just problems going on all over the place. And so we're trying to network and build a movement where we can tackle these problems together in each city. And, you know, together we're stronger.
Now, did you learn anything new that kind of sticks in your mind?
I mean, well, I've never seen the 2020 presidential candidates in person. I mean, I heard what they kind of have in mind to do with certain things, although I'm always, you know, skeptical when they say things.
I would hope so.
I didn't learn anything new, per se. I mean, I know that all these problems exist. It was great to meet a lot of people and to band together. There are some new opportunities for me to help people, like in other cities, there's people who don't necessarily know how to start a lawsuit, don't know how to get free donations. There's a local chapter that wants to start a Food Not Bombs. I mean, we can help and assist in all kinds of ways. There are new opportunities.
So what's come out of this that feels concrete to you in terms of something that might impact Santa Cruz?
Well, we're changing the narrative. You can't change Santa Cruz if you don't get what, you know, what's going on out all over the place. I learned that our story is in papers all across the East Coast, all across, you know, the nation now, really. And so we're getting the word out, and hopefully that will change things.
What particular changes are you looking for?
We need services for our homeless. We need some help regarding, you know, the rent versus wage issues. We need affordable housing. We need the city to be persuaded to pay attention to Martin versus Boise more instead of just ignoring it and, you know, trying to find ways around it.
That's the court decision that says you don't arrest a homeless person for sleeping unless you can find her a place to sleep.
And we need a lighter approach towards, you know, ticketing and, you know, all kinds of things. We need a lot of changes simultaneously to really make a difference, I think.
Do you see any...
We're not going to get it, you know, asking politely and playing tea party, though. We have to demand change. We have to, you know, band together with other people and make a stand.
And now that you're back, I guess when you left, you were talking about gathering declarations for the lawsuit and also just maybe to document what's going on here in Santa Cruz in terms of, I guess you were concerned about online hate speech or and in-practice harassment of people in RVs and seizure of property of folks who have been driven out of the Ross camp or just who are around, who are homeless in Santa Cruz and are being approached by police. I know that the entire Conscience in Action group, or most of them, picked up and went over to the tracks when they heard that the police were there doing a raid. I think they missed the raid. We missed the raid. I was there, too. But what do you see happening in the next...
Oh, hold on. Anthony's calling me. I have to switch over.
All right. Hang on. I'll wait. You're back again, Alicia. Go ahead.
Number one with the Coke.
It looks like some business is being conducted there.
Oh, yeah, we're just getting food.
So, Alicia, last night you attended a meeting of Drew Glover's kind of pre-council discussion of what's on the agenda. Did you come away with any thoughts?
And what thoughts?
Did you hear what I said?
Well, I heard that we attended a meeting last night. What did you ask about it, though?
And what did you come away from with that, if anything?
That we need to, he's hoping to maybe propose some changes to the cash, that there's some things going on with Janice. We went over the whole agenda, the proposed agenda. Hopefully, you know, they can make some changes to how things are agendized. And we had some discussions about things. People voice their concerns about maybe getting some help regarding the what it would look like to have a ordinance to where landlords owning over three rental properties would have to have like regular inspections. That way their tenants don't potentially have to live in places with health and safety conditions and risk retaliation if they tell the landlord they're not okay with that. And Cynthia Berger was there and made some comments regarding that, really good comments, because I guess they have some similar things going on in Berkeley that are working to protect tenants. And that was the gist of it. Do you remember something I don't, Robert?
You know, I'm going to be playing, I think, the entire thing, or much of it, for this show, actually, because I think it was a good conversation with a lot of people. I've never seen so large a group. Never seen so large a group of activists put together with one council member and on actually a... There's not much, unfortunately, that can be done. We had a... I guess you were at the previous meeting back in January when we met with Drew Glover.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And we actually...
A meeting, too.
We actually talked about putting together real ordinance changes and real initiatives at the city council, which were buried or diluted or delayed by Mayor Martine Watkins and City Manager Martine Burnell. So that didn't go anywhere. This time, it looked like we did a lot of discussion about, well, what for me were largely meaningless proposals, although it's nice to get rental data, and there was a lot of talk about who is going to get on this homelessness committee, whatever the hell it's called. I think you applied for it and were turned down and so forth, but it's... to me, it's more a chitter-chatter like they've been doing with housing for 3 years and a way of avoiding specifics, which really are what we need to be talking about, not who's going to sit around criticizing, chittering, chattering, and discussing the issue. But, you know, he's stuck with the agenda as it exists. Anyway, I'm going to be talking more about this on my show. Is there something that, between bites of your sandwich, because I guess you're having lunch... you think that that Anthony wants to comment on regarding how the conference went?
Do you want to comment on anything about how the conference went?
Radio?
Yeah.
Robert Radio.
Robert Radio.
Yeah.
Okay, 1 second. Here you go. He said we can go. You want, he'll call you back when we're like on our road again. It'll be a little bit quieter here.
Sounds good.
Noisy in here.
Hey, I mean, you're doing fine. You got a strong voice, Alicia, and I will. I'll just let you know that there are two things happening in Fresno today. One of them is, I guess, the National Lawyers Guild thing you're going to, and the other.
I don't know.
I think that may be it. But the other thing is an anti-war conference that's also happening. And while you're talking about homelessness, remember that the Washington, the same place you just left, is preparing to bomb the hell out of Iran. And
yeah, I know.
That's gonna blow everybody away, in my view, ultimately. And so it might be good to get a few people out on the streets to deal with that while you're chattering about the next 10 years of how to deal with homelessness, or the next year of how to organize homeless people.
And that's something I chide myself with, too, because I'm not doing it. But if you're going to a meeting where there are a lot of people, they should be not just talking about this, but they should be out there doing something before it's too late. That's my feeling. So that's my suggestion. Give them hell. And get back to me, if you can, when you're at a quieter place.
All right. Yep, I hear you.
Sounds good. Anything you want to say before we go? All right. Chow down.
All right. I will talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
And unfortunately, the busy Anthony Prince did not get back to us, but perhaps in the future. Here's another snippet. Yeah, that's about 20 to 8 on June 17th, 2019, out down here on the mall in front of Del Williams Jewelers and looking at a jewelry person who's running a table, has a bike and a trailer, as well as his table, which is sort of at least adjacent to, if not inside, the famed brass discs. Hello.
Just like going out, finding stuff.
He's also playing a drum, and dusk is falling. Hey, Tyler. Any reports from the you-know-where?
What did you say?
Any street reports?
From where?
Here. With
Tyler.
And Tyler, you're facing a pretrial conference. Is this in court or is this with an attorney or what's the deal?
It'll be in court.
And your criminal behavior has been what?
Well, I'm facing charges of obstruction of a thoroughfare, or basically of a street, and resisting arrest.
Why, I say, did you obstruct a street if you did?
Well, first of all, that's hearsay. I do not proclaim my guilt in that matter.
Certainly not.
But if I did obstruct it, it was because of need to make a scene. I think... This is really strange for me, by the way.
You're doing a fine job. A fine job.
Well, who am I talking to, by the way?
You're talking to anybody listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, really?
Or in this case, the stream of Free Radio. We are not on the air at the moment, but
right.
We're on the stream. So it's people, I think, although I can't really tell for sure, people are concerned about various discriminatory practices of agencies, police, courts, and so forth.
Right. Well, I'll tell you this. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to follow a law when that law is part of a long line towards a slaughterhouse, I would say. And to me, that's what this is for me. So an obstruction, I guess you could say maybe I'm trying to be a little bit like a chicken flapping its wings as it's being pushed towards a meat grinder.
Squawking, if you will.
Yeah. So
what was the issue you were raising as you... Because I understand there was a protest about some issue that involved various people, trying to alert the community to certain subjects. What was the subject that you were that they were doing?
Well, the subject, I guess, is the unsustainable ability for... Or the inability for humans to continue living the way that they are and basically how... We're using up the ground that we are feeling kind of shake under us ecologically, and we're running out of time to shift our behaviors before a massive collapse.
What specific behavioral changes regarding Santa Cruz were you suggesting?
Well, Santa Cruz is basically a part of the world, and it's really the world that needs to change. But in Santa Cruz specifically, we have a lot of resources here, and if anywhere can make a change as far as, you know, how many cars are on the road, for one. Thankfully, Monterey and the other counties, San Benito and Santa Cruz, have passed legislation to get more sustainable energy sources to here. But there's a bit of a problem in how they get their energy. But basically, the bottom line is anywhere that is still using fossil fuels to the extent that we're using here is not doing it right. And
so your specific recommendation to the citizenry, if they were to rise up and take direct action, would be to do what?
Rise up and take direct action. Well, I don't know if I would
Or will we wait until the politicians make a decision?
I would say that if anyone directly stops you and challenges your right to use a car because if it's part in the global shame that we're kind of participating in right now.
Global asphyxiation, Brad?
Sure, yeah. Think twice and maybe accept that that is a reasonable thing to do at this point. And if you want to take it upon yourself to start making those challenges, I think it's a fair thing to start to ask other people about why they are currently participating in
now,
this.
What kind of penalties are you facing in this case?
This drummer's really going at it. In my case, I don't actually know what the maximum penalty is. I'm looking at possibly, for the resisting arrest charge, a month in jail as a maximum. Although with my record is not one in which they will be...
You gouge out the eyes of the officer who arrested you? Was that what it was all about?
Yeah. He was very upset with me, as you can imagine. He actually tried to tell me how much he agreed with me.
That's why he gave you the resisting arrest charge.
Well, yeah. I mean, he did arrest me. Incidental. He did arrest me on resisting arrest, and also on obstructing a.
You spent how much time in jail?
I spent about 10 hours on that day, and I'm looking forward to possibly paying a fine. But I intend to ask the prosecution and the judge. To in fact start working in ways that will possibly provide me a platform for living on, going on in the future, in one that I don't actually have to regret the fact that I have to work against the law in order to have a chance at survival, and against the police to have a chance at survival. Rather.
Which judge are you going to be in front of?
I believe Gallagher. I can't actually remember, but...
In the name of your public defender?
I won't be working with a public defender as far as I know right now.
Your choice? Or?
Well, yeah, I guess. I'm thinking hopefully that in the way that this is presented, it'll be a little bit more understandable that this is not a kind of trial as usual, you know? I mean...
Did they offer you a public defender?
Yeah, at the expense of $50.
Uh-huh. So they're trying to... Some might say extort money from you in order for you to defend yourself.
Sounds like you might say that.
I certainly just did, actually.
For me, I probably wouldn't say that. I would just say that people are used to running on a track and they need to find a way to get off of it. So.
Well, I wish you luck. Sometimes public defenders, though, they usually give you 5 minutes in the hallway. Although I don't know if that's always true, but that's too often that seems to be. At least my concern with them. Still, they know tricks and trade of the ordinances and the judges' preferences and all that horseshit. So it sometimes can be useful to get their input, although not necessarily to follow their advice in all cases.
Right.
But if you're adopting your own approach, I recommend you go read the laws under which you are, in fact, being challenged over very carefully.
I also do have some help from someone outside, not necessarily a legal advisor, but just someone who knows a little bit. And can...
That can be helpful. And again, the date for your conference is?
That will be tomorrow.
And is it a public conference?
No, I don't believe so.
You'll give us a full report, perhaps?
Perhaps, if I see you again.
Could happen.
Yeah, actually, what am I doing Wednesday? I might be able to show up at Huff. You guys, you still have...
Tomorrow at... Wednesday at 11.
Yeah, no, I know when it is. Okay, well...
Maybe we'll see you there.
Maybe.
We've been talking with...
Tyler?
Of course.
Maldonado.
The infamous Tyler Maldonado.
Yeah, so...
The notorious infamous criminal.
So many people know about me.
Thank you, Tyler.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. How's it going? So I'm down here at Food Not Bombs, and... Hey, Jim. And it's 5 o'clock. That's the 5 o'clock bell. It's June 22nd. I'm talking with...
Roy Tangroy.
And if I could... I'm not sure how much of this I'm going to be able to hear, but you say you've gone to a safer place to sleep that's kind of out of the way.
That's what I'm trying to do.
And last night, were you able to do that? You're saying no.
Tonight for the first time.
For the first time. Now, what have you done for the last week, if you wish to say?
one place to go at night, and through the day, another place.
And is it downtown, on the edge of town, outside in the boonies?
Well, the for the elders on Post Street. Yeah, I spend my days during the week, the 5 days during the week, I spend my days there. You can be there for approximately 4 hours a day.
And where is this?
On Post Street.
On Post Street?
Post and Pioneer, the Elder Day.
Oh, yeah, I think I've heard of Elder Day.
Yeah.
How is it?
It's got what you need, basically.
And what does that involve? I mean, what kind of facilities do they have?
Well, most of us really appreciate the food.
What kind of food?
Oh, they're conscientious about a diet, and so rather than load you up with a whole bunch of food, those of us that lost our teeth, we can have something ground up for us. And
you don't look fat, I'll tell you. You don't look fat.
No. And anyways, I fit in well there. They're helping me get glasses.
So you have some glasses?
Well, I got the glasses now, but it was a cell phone.
Yeah.
I couldn't get anywhere with the cell phone thing. And so they found some new source. And I don't know how many weeks it's going to take. They don't know either, but...
I wish you luck on that. 4 hours a day at Elder Day.
Yeah.
And what's another stop you use, if any? Where else do you go?
Well, I got
4 hours only, you know, there's 24 hours.
I got it up on storage. I have to travel very, very carefully.
You're pointing, this is your storage item?
No, just part of stuff that what I need. Like, I got a lot of collectibles, and I have to unload that.
And nothing has been stolen from you recently?
Oh, this goes on for the 20 years I've been in this area.
But anything in the last month or two?
No. Well, sometimes when you put your stuff down where you're going to sleep, people go through and maybe deep ends, whatever they may need, you know. And
A generous provider of the people?
Well, I used to willingly help these people out until I realized you got to draw the line. You got to plan ahead of time what you're not going to do and what you're going to do or what you might do. But when I was attacked on the street...
How long ago?
6 months ago. I've still got some holes in my leg, but much improved.
Good.
6 months to get this done. The hospital was a near-death experience. Watsonville Hospital as well as the Dominican.
Charming.
Bad experience. What was on me, my billfold, my clothes, they claimed nothing about it. They said, no, you had it yourself. I said, no, you attacked me with four security guys, little guys at Dominican, and they pumped me full of antibiotics. And every day that I was there for I don't know how many weeks, kept pumping me with antibiotics, lying, saying it was other stuff. And that's why we couldn't heal this fast. It was taking much too long.
So you've gotten out of that scene.
Yeah.
That's good. We've been talking with...
Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.
With...
Jim.
Hey, Jim, I know you. When you came to the Conscience in Action meeting, you were telling me that there's another attempt to displace you.
That's right. They're trying to take away my Section 8 voucher.
And what's their latest pretext? I think you showed it to me before, but summarize it.
I have a new letter which has items 1 to 5, and they want me to fulfill the items. And I don't know how to... That's the timing. They're too fast.
So, when we spoke on Wednesday a few days ago, you know, you said you might be talking to Cynthia Berger, who I know, I think she's doing less of that kind of work now. Have you had any chance to talk to her?
Oh, no. I have to call her up, though. I got to wait for the timing.
And you've been successful in maintaining your residence so far.
Yes, I've gotten through the court one time, and I'm able to stay. So I'm working on it.
What's your next move here?
More housing authority, and I have a counselor that will help me. Just more housing authority headaches, and I have to go back and present myself a nice interface, you know, nice, pleasant conversation, and wait to see what they say.
And this is, and where is this? Where does this all happen?
On 41st Avenue at the Housing Authority office in Capitola. So I'm doing okay.
And we've been talking with
Jim.
Thank.
Yeah, I'm Jim. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Jim. Talking to a traveler whose name is.
Oh, I'm Tim.
And Tim, anything new that you haven't said before you'd like to pass on that's new and exciting, or old and boring but interesting?
It's a
contradiction.
I have recently been thinking about how capoeira, or the elements, rather, of capoeira and permaculture.
Capoeira being?
An Afro-Brazilian dance art form that helped to free slaves from bondage back in the day. And is now is practiced as mostly an extremely passive, non-contact dance martial art.
And so, again, the value of this, as far as you're concerned, is
people circling and making music together in a non-hierarchically arranged pattern. There's no stage, as it were.
And have you seen this happen in Santa Cruz much?
I haven't seen it in Santa Cruz, but to my knowledge, there is some going on somewhere.
Well, there is a Cafe Brazil. I don't know if it's a South American custom a lot or African. I don't know. What countries have a lot of this?
You know, I just researched yesterday at the library, because I realized how much I didn't know about something that I thought was so important, that it's from Angola, which is in Africa, but it was more popularized and developed in Brazil.
Uh-huh. I hear you. I think that's where I may have heard the term. So are you outside in Santa Cruz these days?
Yep. Well, no, I'm not living outside, but I spend a lot of time outside.
So yeah. You got an indoor spot.
I've been staying at one of the shelters, so to speak, at the VFW.
How is it?
I've enjoyed it. There are some things that could improve, but overall, the people that work for the Salvation Army are incredibly awesome people.
That's out on 7th Avenue?
Yeah.
And you take the bus out there, the shuttle?
The shuttle, yeah.
And how many folks are in the are out there usually when you on a typical night?
Well, it fluctuates. Lately, as the weather has gotten warmer, it's been less. I haven't really been keeping track, but lately it's been about 30-something.
A lot of spaces.
In the 30s. There is a lot of space since the weather got warm, but I also realized that not everyone wants to restrict their lifestyle by being in at bed, so to speak, at 5 or 6 in the day. It definitely limits your social abilities.
And you have to get up at 5 or 6 in the morning.
Right, which is something that was actually helpful for me, because I'm not traditionally a morning person, but I'm trying to become more of a morning person because I want to work on more farms. So it's been good for me, but I could see how it'd be painfully unpleasant for some people.
At least, unfamiliar.
Unfamiliar, yeah. It's not like you don't get enough period of sleep, but it's perhaps not the schedule people are used to. You definitely have adequate time to sleep. It's 12 hours. I mean, if you want it to be, you can be there from about 5 to about 5. So that's a more than generous amount of time to...
How's the food?
You know, I have so many food intolerances that I can't...
You don't eat there.
I don't personally eat because there's so many foods that I have. I can't even eat at any restaurants, really, to be honest. I have a whole list of food intolerances. But they've been generous enough to let me keep... because I have food intolerances, they've been generous enough to make exceptions for me. And I think that they do that for people that who have different diets. And they do try to accommodate people of different diets. If you let them know...
This is a first-come, first-serve thing. In other words, you haven't got a spot reserved for you, right?
No.
And you aren't required to come back every night or else risk being thrown out.
Oh, no. No. You can come back whenever you want, and there's no spots reserved. First-come, first-serve. Yep.
Fair enough. You mentioned there's some things that might need improvement. What would those be?
Well... I think identifying people who need specific help and maybe need more services than the VFW is able to provide in that area should be redirected to places that need more help. So maybe like a little bit of special treatment to certain people who are observed to be struggling for the benefit of them and for the benefit of the group.
So give me an example of that.
As it would relate to either sickness or cleanliness.
I mean, are there actually places to refer people to? I mean, what I often say on this show is, for example, they talk about transitional campgrounds. We don't have any here, but those are the supposed objective of the city council, navigation centers with transitional campgrounds that will send people into housing, but there's no housing. So similarly, something that directs people to services, but often there's not really much in the way of services. For example, addiction services, they're full up, or they're over, you know, understaffed, or there's just not room. And I'm glad to hear that it sounds like shelter services are not, at least this particular shelter you're at, they have extra space for those who want to use them. Is that right?
They do have extra space. And I think you're absolutely right. They're doing what they can, but there is only so much that is available outside of what their day-to-day services are. So they did a great job identifying someone who needed to go to the hospital, but short of the extreme of needing to go to the hospital, they do great jobs at it, identifying when someone is at the threshold that they can intervene and say, we need you to go, or we believe that it is imperative that you go to a hospital. And they do it in a very kind and professional way. But short of that, I feel like it would be...
There's no medical services.
Oh, no, they don't. To my knowledge, they don't provide any medical services. There's a first aid kit there, but no, I don't.
No dental services, no haircuts, none of that stuff.
No, they do give out clothes, which is helpful. I think that at some point, if you're really needing a haircut, they might know people to do it. But I don't think it's under the umbrella of the Salvation Army. I think that they're just connected to generous people who give out haircuts for free.
So on the on the streets, because you've been on the streets a bit, I take it.
Yeah.
What have you seen as far as police and ranger behavior toward folks who are carrying their stuff around with them?
Well, see, that's why I'm at the VFW, is because I'm used to either pressure from the cops or the people, but not both. And that's why Santa Cruz is a little bit uncomfortable for me, because I worry about the cops. I am paranoid of the cops. In my life, I've had good reason to be paranoid of the cops, and the people, there's people in houses that are unhappy that I'm sleeping on the ground, and then there's people that are sleeping on the ground with me that may not like me because I am not always overly friendly, and I don't really group up or click up with people. So because I feel like I have to worry from so many different
directions.
Yeah, directions. That's why I've been staying at the VFW. It's because it's...
You fled the streets.
I did flee the streets.
At least at night.
at nighttime, yeah.
When was the last time you ventured out into a nighttime street sleep?
Oh, well, a couple times since I've been here. Sometimes I miss the bus, and I'm not, like, really afraid of sleeping. It's like...
You're more comfortable there.
I'm more comfortable at the VFW, yeah. It's not that, like, if I miss the bus, and it's not the end of the world, I'm not going to... I think two nights ago I slept outside because I had so much fun at the beach, I didn't make it back for the bus, and I didn't stress about it, but I kind of have to look for a special place where I feel more or less safe, more or less, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're expressing yourself pretty clearly. We've been talking with...
Tim.
Anything you want to add, Tim?
No, I just hope that everyone can have compassion, realize classism is a two-way street. No one should be a slave to retail, and no one should not have a bathroom to use.
Okay, good. Thank you, Tim. Gavinu has a new restaurant, or maybe it's not that new. It's the Pokey House next to Lulu Carpenter's, which has seized additional sidewalk space across from the sidewalk space of Verve, and then up the street, the Zoccoli's.
the old-time Japanese restaurant that used to be in the across the way here is still, the building is still vacant where it was. And occasionally you see a man with a guitar strumming on a bench, but he's even has a backpack with him. Whoa.